Welcome to Cheers to Home Ownership.
Cheers, guys.
This is Amy Trim. I'm a loan officer here in Washington State.
And I'm Kathleen Facey, a real estate broker here in Washington State as well.
And this podcast is really everything to do about home ownership, from buying, selling, refinancing, but also all the aspects that goes into owning a home ownership. We'll be interviewing all the professionals that are involved in buying, selling, and refinancing and owning a home. Kathleen and I have actually been teaching home buyer classes together for 8 years. Our classes cover the 23 benchmarks that go into buying. So even though this podcast allows us to dive deeper into all aspects of home ownership, not just buying, we are starting this podcast series off with the buying step. In our previous episodes, Kathleen's going to kind of walk us through, you know, what we covered.
And we talk with our professionals and we talk about them in our class as that they're the players that are involved in the buying, selling a home process. Today's episode covers one of these professionals, the home inspector. Our guest today is Kyle Litton, who is a licensed home inspector here in Washington State.
That's right. So actually, Kyle has a fascinating background. He was born and raised here in Washington and Whidbey Island, but he actually started his inspecting career back in 2008 in London, England, where he was inspecting existing dwellings. And then he moved into the commercial and new buildings. And he was a key component to sign off on the process of homes and apartments being deemed even habitable. He's inspected over 5,000 homes, apartment buildings, and hotels around England. Some as old, check this out, 500 to 600 years old.
Isn't that crazy?
That is so wild. So he has a robust background in inspections, yes, and brings that to Washington State in 2018. And he just really enjoys being able to bring so much to, you know, the buyers and the sellers, whoever hires him, right, in the inspection process, and make sure that there's a benefit and knowledge that goes into it.
Yes. So welcome, Kyle.
Yes. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Excited.
Cool. So we're going to jump right into our questions. So why should someone have a home inspection performed?
So the main reason there is a lot of it actually has to do with fear of the unknown. So, really, you know, having knowledge to what they're getting themselves into. Obviously, the amount of money that they're spending on a home, they must know really what's the home and the components are comprised of, and what they're getting themselves into. So, if there's any damage, if there's anything major, costs coming up, is really super important to know. If there's anything that's non-functional in the house, that they're looking at, of course, it's going to be a major expense. They're already putting so much money into purchasing the property. It's so important,
right,
to have that, you know, clear that there's no major expenses on the horizon. And if there is, then to obviously budget for it and to plan for it, because there is always things that need replacing, just age-related items and things like that. But to know what you're getting yourself into upfront and to dispel that fear upfront is really, really important.
So yeah, it's kind of like a peek behind the curtain, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. You know, Amy always mentions in our classes that there's a honey-do list. And when you mention that there's things just to maybe just to know to pay attention to for when they are a homeowner in that home, I love that too. It's not just about them finding those serious challenges right up front, right? So
yeah, absolutely. Some people are different. Some people want to do a lot of work on the property. It's always a little bit different, but a lot of it is really just dispelling the fear of what's wrong with the house, essentially, and knowing that up front, and then being able to tackle that, you know, in a very methodical basis, or however you want to think about it there. So it's always different, a little bit different with purchasers, but That's really the main thing, is finding out what needs to be corrected.
Right. Well, you know, as an agent, Kyle, you know, I'm seeing so many times that sellers are performing an inspection to be provided to buyers when the home's listed for sale. And so how do you feel about that? So the buyer is not sometimes requesting the home inspection because it's already supplied by the seller as an inspection report.
In general, we're professionals. And generally speaking, I've met a lot of inspectors and they're very good. They're very trustworthy and they're very honest. However, you know, we can miss things. So it really kind of depends on the age of the home that you're okay. inspecting. I would say if there's an existing inspection on a home that's less than 20 years old, I would tend to trust it. Anything older than that, it kind of goes with the age. The older the property, and you know, the lack of say pictures. I've you know, just okay. looked at a lot of inspections, and sometimes they lack a lot of data and pictures and you know,
detail.
So sometimes you'd like to verify things. And again, it kind of comes down to comfort and dispelling fear again. So if you're a buyer, you know, and you just kind of want a little bit more context, because the reports can often look with like a lot of alarmist things and, whoa, there's this big list of items. Generally, they're pretty simple stuff, but, you know, to have that information and that background and that context of what it really means, you know, what kind of damage is there to the roof, say, or what, you know, these fixes that need to be done, how complicated and expensive are they? So we can provide that sort of further detail and that context surrounding what may be on those reports, which is always something.
Okay.
But sometimes they're just optional upgrades, safety things, and things like that.
Okay, so it's like a second point of a second eyes on. And how do you feel about, if the buyer wants to hire you, how do you feel about seeing that inspection report that's already there? Or would you prefer to look at it from a point of, I'm going to start from scratch?
Fresh eyes.
How do you feel about that?
Fine. Generally, you know, we look from top to bottom anyway, so mm-hmm. we'll catch the things that they caught, and sometimes more. Inspectors have kind of unique processes in what they call out and what they don't.
Oh, okay.
Generally, we should be calling out more or less the same things, but some inspectors are a little bit more nitpicky, and some are kind of higher level, focusing on the bigger ticket, $500 to $1,000 or more things. So they may not call out a door that sticks that needs adjustment.
Yeah. Okay.
They'll be looking at kind of the higher end, and we kind of go middle range there. It depends on if it's a newer property, say with almost nothing, you know, wrong with it, we'll be calling out the very minor things. Whereas a 100-year-old property, you know, we would be the report would be 100 pages long if we called out all the little, you know, upgrades and minor safety things and upgrades based on code. So we really go by context and what the client is after, without pulling any punches, of course.
Okay.
So it sounds like, you know, it's a home by home basis on how detailed the report's going to be. And it sounds like your reports are pretty thorough with lots of pictures and details, but it's going to vary from mm-hmm. home to home, like you said. And home inspectors are human. So
yeah.
Their interpretation or their findings are going to vary from inspector to inspector. But I find it really fascinating that you guys have so many gadgets and tools mm-hmm. that you use to find all those things. What is your favorite gadget or tool that you use as a home inspector?
Yeah, we love our
gadgets. Or do you have a favorite tool? Or do you just wear a cape?
See-through walls. Well, the gadgets are fun and they're so super useful. They can pull out data and information that our eyes and our ears and our noses just can't. So my go-to one for my favorite is the drone. So 3, 4, 5 story properties that we just wouldn't be able to get onto the roof. We fly up our DJI, you know, 4K camera up there, and it's safer for us. And you know, we've even got this waterproofing kit. So because it rains so much here in Washington State, we can put that up in the rain and really get very close to the gutters and the chimney and really have a good look at the shingles and and the wear, how much life is left on them if we can't get to the upper roof, you know, 3, 4 stories high and things like that. Generally we'll walk on 90 to 95% of roofs, but that's just such a game changer when you can, you know, do these just impossible to get to sections of the roof.
Wow. That's great. Okay.
That's awesome.
So, story time. Now, what is the wildest thing you've seen when performing a home inspection? I'm excited to hear this.
So there's a lot, there. But I'll keep it in context of the home inspections rather than sometimes crazy and weird items we see.
You broached the subject. Now you got to tell us, what's the wildest thing or item you've seen?
Wait, I'm not sure if I want to know this.
Well, yeah, now I'm nervous. This is a PG podcast.
PG.
People seem to keep some really interesting things in the attic sometimes, which are, you know, a little bit on the interesting and risky side. Yeah. But apart from that, which is just personal items and, you know, people stuff, for the most part, the one that I remember the most, was in Granite Falls. And on first peek, it looked great. It looked actually from top to bottom and all the sides everywhere was encapsulated in plastic and in, you know, below the floor, all the walls and things. So it looked great. It looked like a padded room, that you'd go in if you were going to go insane or something. So it looked clean and wonderful. I was like, wow, this is great. But when I got in there, it was like a waterbed. So there was about a foot of water below the plastic barrier. And as far as the eye could see to the four corners of it was like swashing up and down, like literally like getting onto a waterbed.
So wow. You had a waterbed padded room.
I had to, you know, get out of there pretty darn quick because the water started rushing up on top of the vapor barrier. But that was odd one because literally they had done that to prevent the water. It was kind of a seasonal thing apparently. So they did that to prevent the moisture getting into the floor structure and the foundation and things like that. So it was done on purpose, but it was still
not done right. Maybe.
Have done something else to mitigate water getting in there. So they did it, you know, to prevent things from happening, but they should have prevented the water from actually getting into the crawl space to begin with. So
crazy. I have to admit, I thought we were going somewhere. Kyle, I thought we were going somewhere way different than we went with that one.
Yeah. You brought it back around to appropriate.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
That's interesting. You know, the house that we bought, it has a seasonal creek that goes through the property. So there is some, you know, water that gets into the crawl space occasionally.
Okay.
And then it has a drain and everything like that. But when we purchased the home, we purchased it with, and this was years ago, but we purchased it with a home inspection already done by the previous buyers who backed out because the seasonal creek and the water part freaked them out.
Okay.
And they just were not familiar with that at all. And they got that from their home inspector, even though the inspection report said this is typical and everything like that. So I find that version of prevention of water getting into the home very interesting.
So yeah, you know, Kyle, this really kind of brings up another question for me, and I am going to keep this PG too. It's not, I'm not going to go crazy here, but you know, what are some of the top items that you tend to see when performing a home inspection? Like, what do you look for? You know, what are your
most common offenders?
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the question of mold and rodent seems to come up the most.
Oh, probably Washington State, right?
The scariest sounding, though it's quite easy to deal with, and is the mold issue, because it is, there is so much moisture, and attics tend to be that spot where it goes to. And so one of the ones, very common, very, very common, is the bathroom extraction fans. They're vented through the attic, and then they should have a correct connection point and vent out above the roof line. Those so often become unstuck or uncoupled from the connection point, and they just end up venting all that moist air into the attic, and then that creates a conducive environment for mold, or mildew or fungal. We're not really, you know, we do test for the type of substance it is on occasion, but we have to be a little bit careful on how we report on it. But that always sounds worse than it is, you know. Oh no, we have mold in the house.
I'm so glad
it's actually such a common thing.
Yeah. I mean, and I know as a real estate agent, seeing the inspections, because, you know, Amy is the lender, she does not see them typically, right? And so I'm so glad that you brought that up, because it is something that is so common. So now when I hear of it in a home, I'm like, it's okay, we can work this out, we can figure this out. And, you know, so many times home buyers, prospective buyers, it does freak them out, the pest or the mold. Freaks them out.
Right.
It is kind of sad to say it is so common in our area, but
we're in a wet state.
Yeah.
And you know, we're not New York City, and you know, we have field mice in a lot of areas.
Do you I know this answer, but I'd like to ask it so it's on the podcast here, but do you then, when you see those things, do you mention some things that they can do to help avoid in the future these kind of circumstances? So how would you go about, you know, the
addressing it with the buyer?
Yes.
Okay.
So certainly the mold or mildew or fungal or whatever it may be up there is generally can be taken care of with over-the-counter products. There's mold bombs, there's foggers, and there's devices you can rent that you can put professional products in, and it'll kill 99.9% of all the substance maybe up there.
Okay, that's good.
Taking a look at popping your head into the attic every once in a while to see the conditions and just have a look around with the flashlight is a good idea. As well as the crawl space. I know it's, you know, not a thing that we want to be doing really.
That's my favorite area.
And thinking about out of sight, out of mind, isn't it? But say, the second one would have been most common would be the animal intrusion in the crawl space. And just tightening that up, seeing where they may be getting in, or if the crawl space access, if it's outside, is real nice and sealed up. You know, again, it's easy to deal with, and it's just a constant kind of maintenance issue that we have to keep up with. The bait traps, you know, just keeping an eye on the space so it doesn't get you know, further, yeah, than yeah. than you want to deal with, and the smells and things like that. When they come up on inspections, and quite a bit of mess can be created by those little guys.
Yeah, they sure can create that. That's for sure. I've seen it. I know you have. And, mm-hmm. you know, I love that you said it's basically maintenance. So I think that it's nice if a homeowner, if a prospective homeowner does find out about this, because in some areas it is more common than others too.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. so to know and have that opportunity to talk to you about that, this is avoidable, or this can be mm-hmm. maintained, and this is how to do that. It's just such a good educational moment for a new prospective homeowners that you know, have no idea. And then they can realize how easy that right. this can mm-hmm. be handled.
And that was the case in the report that we saw that the previous buyers backed out on. It was right in the report. This is common for the area. This is, mm-hmm. you know, they totally addressed it. That was just too far outside of their comfort zone. Apparently they, you know, were trying to buy out in the country
yeah.
for the first time. Mm-hmm.
But don't like the country animals.
They don't like the countryness.
The environment of the country. Well, it was best for you anyways, because.
Yes, it worked out great for us.
Yeah.
We're used to the country. Mm-hmm. So yeah. those are some good tips to homeowners who want to prolong the life of their home. Take a peek in the crawl, take a peek in the attic, things like that. Make sure that bathroom is properly vented and nothing's come loose.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Kyle.
Yeah. Very, very good for homeowners, just in general. So Kathleen, you were going to ask about.
Yeah. Hey, Kyle. So what is the average cost of a home inspection, and how long does it take usually to perform an inspection?
Mm-hmm. We're middle of the road. We try and stay competitive. Our standard home size, which is about 1900 square feet or so, standard 3-bed, 2-bath runs about $445 to $475, depending on age and a couple of factors there. And then it runs, we actually bring two licensed inspectors to almost every inspection we do.
I love that you guys do that.
Yeah, we're able to get through them a little bit quicker than a single inspector, usually about 90 minutes to 2 hours, depending on the size and scope. Of course, larger properties will take longer than that. And
that's a huge bonus, I think.
Yeah. Ours took for like 3.5 hours. Ugh. It took forever.
Yeah. And I love that, mm-hmm. Kyle, because you've got the two eyes on it, mm-hmm. on the home, and it reduces the time, because prospective buyers are coming to these in most cases, and they've got to get usually time off of work to do them, because you do them during the daytime, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, this has really been helpful. I think we need to wrap up with a fun question, though. Okay, Kyle. So since this podcast is called Cheers to Homeownership, if we were having you cheers to homeownership, what would be in your glass, cup, or mug?
Go mug.
Gotta love the Pacific Northwest beers and yes. breweries here. The IPAs are just out of control.
The bomb, so, right?
Yeah. I have a good friend actually that has a brewery in Soto called Sea Pine, and his beers are just awesome. He delivers to a lot of places around Bellevue and Seattle and much more. So if you do see Sea Pine brewing and some of the beers that they have, the IPAs, the Hefts, they're awesome. So gotta
great
be the
good
IPA.
Job.
Very cool. Do they deliver to Snohomish?
I believe they do. There's at least a few in Snohomish that have bars and pubs. Yeah, yeah, that have Sea Pine. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll give that tip to my husband. He loves his IPAs. Awesome. Well, we hope that this episode has helped everybody understand what the home inspection looks like and who this professional is in the process of buying and selling a home. So stay tuned to future episodes where we interview other professionals and everything that goes into homeownership. Thank you again, Kyle, for being here and helping our listeners learn more about this step.
Yes, thank you, Kyle.
Cheers to homeownership.
Cheers, guys.